A redacted version of the Mueller report was released Thursday.
After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants, and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts.
Wall Street Journal reporters are combing through the 448-page document released at 11 a.m. this morning. This is What's News from the Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to the latest on the Mueller report, here are some other top stories we're following. Canada's transport minister is calling for additional simulator training for pilots of Boeing's 737 MAX. Industry officials say that could delay getting the aircraft back in the air after they were grounded last month following two fatal crashes in Indonesia and Ethiopia. The Federal Aviation Administration has so far decided against mandating additional simulator training. Aviation officials in Canada and other countries have said they'll conduct their own safety reviews of Boeing's software fix for the flight control system that's now been implicated in the two fatal crashes. Military experts say a new weapon North Korea said it tested this week is likely a short-range guided missile that doesn't appear to have breached Kim Jong-un's pledge not to test more destructive weapons that could travel farther. The last summit between the U.S. and North Korea in Hanoi ended abruptly. South Korea's President Moon Jae-in has said he'll push for another inter-Korean summit and hopes the U.S. and North Korea will continue talks. Sprint told regulators this week that it will struggle to operate as a standalone company as its proposed merger with T-Mobile remains in limbo. According to the Wall Street Journal, Sprint's previous reporting that it had added new wireless connections for six straight quarters included gains from free lines or existing customers that had switched services. In other words, not new customers. Earlier this week, antitrust officials told Sprint and T-Mobile that their merger is unlikely to be approved as it is currently structured, throwing another wrench into the tie-up. A redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report after a nearly two-year investigation into Russian election interference in the 2016 presidential election was released on Thursday. Joining me now from Washington, just hours after the report was released, is Wall Street Journal reporter Aruna Viswanatha with more details on what we know so far. Aruna, let's quickly talk about the findings of the Mueller report as summarized by Attorney General William Barr this morning, where he elaborated on his four-page summary that was released late last month.
So the Attorney General did come out and say a couple of things pretty unequivocally. He came out and almost repeated words that President Trump has used in the past to say there was no collusion, that no American, including no one associated with the Trump campaign, had knowingly collaborated with, conspired with the Russian government to hack into Democratic emails. So he said that pretty unequivocally. Then on the obstruction piece of the investigation, he elaborated a little bit on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's decision not to come to a conclusion on the question of whether the president obstructed justice, but he basically said you're going to have to look at the report. But he said that him and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein disagreed with Special Counsel Mueller on some of their legal theories. So that's something that we learned that was new. But then he also said that ultimately he used Special Counsel Mueller's framework to reach his own conclusion that the president did not obstruct justice. So those were a couple of things that he fleshed out this morning before releasing the report.
And actually, to that point, let's hear what Attorney General Barr said about that open question of obstruction, which was something we had been talking about heading into the release of this report.
After carefully reviewing the facts and legal theories outlined in the report and in consultation with the Office of Legal Counsel and other department lawyers, the Deputy Attorney General and I concluded that the evidence developed by the special counsel is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense.
Aruna, I have a feeling this will not be the last time we hear about the obstruction question.
The report had some pretty interesting language in there about basically opening the door to Congress to making its own determination on whether the president's actions could be construed as an effort to obstruct justice. And so they were pretty definitive in saying that they could not exonerate the president. They could not come to reach a conclusion that he did not commit a crime. They just were not going to take that next step and specifically say that he had, but they were leaving to Congress the ability to determine whether there were other avenues that could be pursued involving the same conduct.
And you and our team of reporters are, of course, still parsing through the roughly 400 pages of this report. Any other initial findings or points of interest that you can relay to us at this time, keeping in mind that this is a moving target and will be developing throughout the day?
Sure. I mean, it is just a very detailed look at a lot of what they have been examining over the past 2 years. And I think we had been expecting something much less specific, a lot more redacted, but it's very readable, almost compulsively readable, and has a lot of new and interesting little details about all of these things we've been talking about for 2 years. So, say, after the president first learns about Special Counsel Mueller's appointment, he basically says, "We're effed," and he thinks this is the end of his presidency. We hear that Jeff Sessions was so worried about his relationship with the president that every time he even went to the White House, he kept a copy of his resignation letter in his back pocket. So it's just a lot of new details that are pretty surprising and interesting. It may not change the narrative of what we know about what happened the past couple of years, but it really fleshes out a lot of these episodes.
And we did also hear from President Trump today.
I'm having a good day, too. It was called no collusion, no obstruction. And this should never happen to another president again. This hoax, this should never happen to another president again.
And Attorney General Barr has been accused of protecting the president, even this morning during the press conference. What are you hearing about that today after the release of the report?
Some critics are definitely raising some eyebrows over the Attorney General's comments. He seemed to go out of his way to support the president's version of events. But then when asked, are you explicitly trying to help the president, he kind of backs away a little bit and says, I'm just telling you what's in the report. This is an unprecedented situation. So, I mean, I think his critics should be somewhat pleased with the fact that so much of the report is not redacted and so much is in there that is embarrassing to the president. So I think to some extent he's not in this job as the president's protector, or he would have the president claim executive privilege to shield a lot of his conversations with his advisors. But that press conference this morning did kind of raise some eyebrows on Capitol Hill about what Barr's ultimate intentions were.
Aruna, we've spoken previously on this podcast about there potentially being a long battle ahead on Capitol Hill for full release of the report. What are you hearing from lawmakers today?
I actually think there's a lot more public in the report than maybe lawmakers had initially anticipated when they started talking about trying to subpoena the full report. So I'm not quite sure that's going to be as vocal a debate going forward. I think more of the debate is going to be just with the fact that Mr. Mueller seems to have put the ball in Congress's court so clearly that they're going to have to decide, Democrats will have to decide, do they want to pursue some kind of an impeachment inquiry and examine a lot of these allegations related to obstruction of justice, or do they want to move on and have that play out in the 2020 campaign?
Wall Street Journal reporter Aruna Viswanatha joining us from Washington, D.C. with an initial analysis of the Mueller report released just hours ago to Congress. Thank you so much, Aruna.
Thank you.
And you can follow our continuing team coverage online at WSJ.com. Now, on to some more headlines from the Wall Street Journal. The owner of the National Enquirer has agreed to sell the tabloid to James Cohen, a former newsstand mogul and former head of Hudson News, for $100 million, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Inquirer's owner, American Media, had announced last week that it was putting the paper up for sale. The publisher reached an agreement with the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan last year, admitting it had paid $150,000 in hush money to a former Playboy model to suppress her story of an affair with President Trump, which he has denied a decade earlier. For the first time in more than a decade, New York City's population has fallen. The U.S. Census Bureau found the city's population fell 0.47% to 8.4 million by July of last year. Of the city's five boroughs, Staten Island was the only one to see a slight gain. City officials say the numbers are evidence of an inevitable slowdown. Elsewhere in the U.S., a few other major metro areas saw declines, including Los Angeles, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. U.S. retail sales saw a boost in March, notching their largest monthly gain since September of 2017. Thursday's report from the Commerce Department shows that sales rose in every major type of store, excluding sporting goods and bookstores. The report beat expectations from economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal, with sales increasing a seasonally adjusted 1.6%. And we're watching Thursday's public debut of tech unicorns Pinterest and Zoom. The video conferencing company opened up at $65 a share, 81% above their IPO price. Online image board Pinterest also opened trading higher at $23.75, up from its $19 offering price. The companies are considered a bellwether for other tech companies planning IPOs later this year. And that's what's news for this afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.